Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And Jim, it's the second time in less than a month that the good martini has come from The View, although it's a little bit different this time. Usually it's because Meghan McCain either shredded Michael Wolff or did something else to put the liberals in their place. And today it's just the insanity of the left, particularly Whoopi Goldberg, but some of the others chirping in here as well. They're upset that Mike Pence did not stand when the joint Korean Olympic team entrance was made into the Olympic Stadium during the opening ceremonies. They thought that was just unconscionable, especially since Mike Pence walked out of the Indianapolis Colts San Francisco 49ers game earlier this year when some of the players did not stand for the national anthem. So here is how that discussion went on The View.
If you are in Korea, you need to stand up. You need to stand up and show respect.
The debate I would give is that there's a difference between sitting at a table with politicians and world leaders who globally have a difference of opinion on North Korea is one of the worst human rights violators. It's one of the most repressive countries.
And we should not be there.
They have torture, slave labor. Listen,
we shouldn't be there.
The Olympics are in South Korea and North Korea's teams combined.
Which is why he should, with the unification, people came out together. He should have had enough respect to say, you know what, maybe they are doing a good thing for themselves and maybe we can sit down with them at some point.
Nope.
But you can't have it both ways.
I got to tell you, Whoopi, I think if I were there, I wouldn't have stood either. I have such a problem with what's going on in North Korea.
Well,
again, people are literally being starved into forced labor. They don't have any civil society.
We have supported regimes like this.
Like Russia.
For many years.
That
are still doing it. And so the Olympics are supposed to be the one place where politics is not supposed to play a part.
Okay, several things here, Jim. First of all, Meghan McCain is clearly the only person on that panel remotely qualified to talk about what's going on in the Korea, since most of the other ladies seem to think that the Olympics were in North Korea. Secondly, the vice president's office said that the only team he stood for was the U.S., and that's exactly how most of the other leaders of delegations from the world acted as well. They stood for their own country, and they didn't stand for anyone else here. So, Jim, this is bizarre in a couple different ways. First of all, they're accusing Mike Pence of a double standard and how he treated our anthem and the entrance of the Korean team. But the people who defended the kneelers of our anthem obviously have a double standard of their own, it would appear. But you're looking at this and seeing a direct parallel to what we were so frustrated about yesterday in the bad martini.
Greg, the reason this is our good martini is that it kind of demonstrates that the wacky and bizarre and just really off-putting coverage of North Korea from the press over the weekend now has turned into lefty voices basically taking the pro-North Korean position, and that somehow the United States is being insufficiently respectful to North Korea. You accurately picked out the fact that there was the strange lack of a North or South adjective in the early part of that conversation with Whoopi Goldberg. It really does seem like no reunification has occurred. And I guess if you're an American who doesn't understand the differences between North and South Korea, then yes, unification makes a lot more sense. Look, South Korea made the decision to march in with the North Koreans, and they're free to do that. But when you make a decision like that, it's going to have consequences. I'm sure Mike Pence would have no problem at all applauding for the South Koreans, where they so far seem to be doing a terrific job of hosting. But it's fairly obvious that both the United States and a good portion of the rest of the world looks at North Korea very differently with this. And if you march in with them, well, somebody like Mike Pence is not going to stand for that. I don't mean that figuratively. I mean literally. He's not disrupted or something like that. But he did, he for obvious reasons did not want to have the visual of Mike Pence applauding the entrance of North Korean athletes. One more bit of propaganda for a North Korean regime that has already gotten a bonanza out of this. So I think Mike Pence's position is completely understandable and completely just common sense for the situation. And it really reveals something that the ladies of the left on The View seem to think he's done something inappropriate in this area. I also love this line about Whoopi Goldberg. She goes, well, we've supported regimes like that in the past. Look, yes, the U.S. has supported regimes like North Korea in the past. We supported North Korea back during the Clinton administration when we were building nuclear reactors for them. Right. I mean, if she wants to, this is the usual, you Republican presidents have supported these undemocratic regimes back during the Cold War. No, no, no. Like, again, it turns into this excuse where you never want to make any distinctions between good democratic regimes with governments with having good human rights records and bad ones. This idea that somehow we're being unfair or mean to North Korea if we fail to applaud their athletes. So I think this is, you know, the left has marched into a box canyon here. And if they want to, you know, continue to make this argument with the pro-North Korean position and the idea that North Korea deserves more respect, go ahead, lefties, be our guest.
Jim, there were a lot of dumb statements made by the liberals in that clip, but perhaps the dumbest one came at the end when Whoopi Goldberg said the Olympics are not supposed to be about and have never been about politics. I'm sorry, but the Cold War was definitely a staging ground for the Miracle on Ice, if it had been the United States with a massive upset over Canada, would not have the same impact as defeating the Soviet Union. We boycotted the Moscow Olympics. A bunch of Eastern Bloc countries boycotted the Summer Olympics in L.A. in 1984. And Jim, you're old enough, like I am, to remember when the Cold War was going on during the Olympics. And you and I, I'm sure, I'll speak for you here, were cheering for the Eastern Bloc countries, all their figure skaters to fall on their tushes every time they jumped.
The only one that we ever had a soft spot for, Greg, was Katarina Vint. You give credit for it, right? Well, let's point out, the Olympics have never been about politics and division, huh, Whoopi Goldberg? Let me reach out to the Israeli athletes who competed in Munich to see if they have any thoughts on this. Sorry, folks. There's always been an element of politics to the Olympics, and that's, you know, a sad fact of life. And the idea that somehow, you know, Pence is the most egregious offender here is a ludicrous assertion.
All right, let's go on to the bad martini now, Jim. And the media is just doing itself a world of favors this week in confirming our worst instincts about them. Yesterday, we got breaking news in the afternoon about the fact that an envelope containing white powder was sent to an apartment owned by Donald Trump Jr. and his wife, Vanessa. She's the one who opened it. And here's one of the NBC stories that follows. Donald Trump Jr. says he's thankful that his wife and children are safe and unharmed after an envelope containing white powder was sent to his mother-in-law's New York City apartment. Police say his wife, Vanessa Trump, felt ill after opening the envelope at her mother's apartment Monday morning. She was hospitalized as a precaution. Police said the powder was not considered dangerous. They think it was probably cornstarch. The NYPD and the Secret Service are investigating. And Jim, you obviously had your disgusting comments on Twitter from a few folks on the fringe, to be sure. But then the media just largely ignored the story. It wasn't a big deal, even as they were still trying to figure out if she was going to be okay. It was not wall-to-wall breaking news. And then once it was proven to be cornstarch and probably not harmful to her health, the story just died. I did a quick check on the homepages of some major news outlets this morning. Not a word on this story on the homepage of USA Today, NBC, CNN, or Fox. Can you imagine if Malia Obama or Chelsea Clinton had gotten that and it turned out to be cornstarch? Do you think the media would have just let it alone? Or do you think we'd have 1,500 think pieces going on today on political websites?
Oh, absolutely. I think you characterized this correctly, Greg, that it would be the cover of Time. It would be New York Times op-ed page, the rising culture of hate on the right and things like that. Look, you know, we live in an era, you pointed out, where we've had, you know, a crazy lefty attempt to shoot up a baseball game, congressman get run off the road, Rand Paul attacked by his neighbor. Look, there is this mentality on the left that, you know, hopefully not the mainstream left, although the difference between the mainstream left and the fringe left feels like it's getting harder and harder to distinguish over time. This attitude that, you know, this is not a big deal. And I think that you know, this is a consequence of the Trumps and who they are. Look, you know, for somebody who lived through the anthrax mailings of autumn of 2001, knows folks who were in Daschle's office who had to go on Cipro and were, you know, touching. Look, when you're doing this, you're mimicking a bioterror attack, right? This is basically I'm going to pretend I'm trying to kill you. And my aim is to create this sense of panic, create this sense of, oh, my God, have I just inhaled poison? Am I at risk of dying? Are the people around me risk of dying? This is a horrible thing to do to people. And the idea that this has turned into this mundane, you know, somebody got mailed white powder again, you know, the 30-second news story. I think it says something unpleasant about our era that we kind of want to just kind of either we've gotten used to it or we just kind of shrug it off, particularly if it occurs to someone who we're already disinclined to like in the political realm.
What did Vanessa Trump ever do to anyone? She's the mother of five children, for Pete's sake. Leave her alone. And the fact that she was targeted in this way, sent to her mother's apartment, not Donald Trump Jr., even though I think it was addressed to him, just unconscionable that this isn't getting more condemnation from all corners. All right, let's move on to some good news for the crazy martini, Jim. This comes to us from the Times of Israel. The former chief of staff of Iran's armed forces said Tuesday that Western spies had used lizards to attract atomic waves and spy on his country's nuclear program. It was the latest in a long line of incidents of Western countries, including Israel, being accused of deploying secret agents from the animal kingdom. Hassan Firouzabadi, a senior military advisor to Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, was responding to questions from local media on the recent arrest of environmentalists. He said he didn't know the details of the cases, but that the West had often used tourists, scientists, and environmentalists to spy on Iran. Quote, several years ago, some individuals came to Iran to collect aid for Palestine, and we were suspicious of the route they chose. In their possessions were a variety of reptile desert species like lizards, chameleons. We found out that their skin attracts atomic waves and that they were nuclear spies who wanted to find out where inside the Islamic Republic of Iran we have uranium mines and where we are engaged in atomic activities. Jim, I sure hope we're using lizards to spy on them. And the fact that maybe we are, maybe we aren't, but they're paranoid about it, I love it. This is great.
You know, if you're Mike Pompeo, director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and the Iranian regime makes a wild, crazy, outlandish accusation like this, I believe there is only one appropriate response, Greg. You go out to that podium and you say, yes, we are. Yes, the lizards are spying on you. Our chameleons, you'll never see them. They blend in. They disappear. You'll never see it, hear from them again. With any luck, they've got the nuclear program already. Some people understanding that reference. But look, yes, the birds, they're watching you. Your dog, they talk to us. All of the animals around you, our bugs are actually bugging you, right? You just go down the list of the entire animal kingdom, and you feed that Iranian paranoia as much as humanly possible so that they're swatting at flies and stepping on ants and constantly looking over their shoulder. Look, I have no idea. Maybe you can measure the radiation from lizard skin or something like that. Maybe there really is something useful to this. But yes, anything, you know, anytime your enemy accuses you of doing something awesome, you say, yes, we have. And then you see if you can actually do it just to really drive them crazy.
Jim, do you think we have sharks with freaking laser beams in the Persian Gulf? Because I think that's next.
Shh, Greg, they don't know about that yet. Somewhere Alex Jones is saying, I knew it was lizard people. I knew it.
Well done, who was ever actually doing that or making the Iranians believe we're doing it. Well done indeed. Jim, have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.
I do believe I figured out the intelligence official who has managed to use all of these animals. It is actually a medical doctor, Dr. Doolittle, I believe, is the one who's deployed all of these animals in pursuit. So you know, we had a canine unit. Now it's our lizard unit. Go get them, guys.
Love those debriefings. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.